So, Rafer.
Yes, Kristen.
We were at a screening the other night together for the new film Paranormal Activity 3.
I think it was the second screening in the country.
That's what they said. The producers who introduced the film said that. Do you remember what else they said?
There was a DJ playing, and so there was so much hip hop music that I couldn't tell what everybody was saying. It was a madhouse, wasn't it?
It was crazy. They were giving away prizes.
Yeah,
there was dancing happening.
It was incredible. It was quite a scene.
At one point, you were saying, "Why isn't there a t-shirt gun? I want the t-shirt
right?
gun."
Where's the t-shirt cannon? I would have stood up for the t-shirt cannon, but no. And I saw people with t-shirts as well.
Well, I would have loved to have had a t-shirt.
Yeah, me too.
But I just like free stuff. But what I remember most vividly is right before the movie started, the producer introducing it said, "I want you to," I'm going to paraphrase, "poo your pants."
Yes, that's nice paraphrasing.
"And you're not going to sleep tonight."
Right. Nobody's sleeping tonight, the producer said.
Everyone's pooing their pants and nobody's sleeping tonight.
That's right.
So, Rafer, what I want to know is, did you do either of those things? Did you poo your pants or not sleep?
I kept it together during the during Paranormal Activity 3, and I think I slept pretty soundly that night.
You did?
Yes, I think I did.
I did too.
You did too. yeah.
But we're talking about Paranormal Activity 3 today. We're talking about other movies that maybe we actually did have a hard time sleeping afterwards.
Yes.
But before we do that, let's introduce ourselves. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And this is Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Rafer.
Yes.
We both say we didn't have any problems sleeping after Paranormal Activity 3.
No.
Do you want to talk about what Paranormal Activity 3 is about for those people out there who aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, it's it's a prequel to the prequel, right? So there's Paranormal, it's its origin story to the prequel. So Paranormal Activity, the first film, was about a youngish couple and a suburban house who were being terrified by some sort of poltergeist. Paranormal Activity 2, I'm fuzzy on the details on that one, but it was sort of an origin story kind of the woman in the first one. And this goes back even further into her childhood. So now we're in the VHS era, and it's the 80s, 1988, and it's essentially more of the same. It's the same, you know, goings-on, lights flickering on and off, all the stuff that made the first one famous is in this one as well. And so this one is also more child focused, right? Two little girls running around the house, and there's something, one of them has an imaginary friend named Toby, and there's lots of furniture moving around and such. And I don't think there's much more I can say without giving it away, quote unquote.
Well, I think that's a very good summary of the film. And when you're talking about it, I'm remembering all these other sorts of movies that for a second I thought, oh, yeah, that's like the whole checklist of the scary movie. You have kids, you have the imaginary friends, you have the furniture moving and so on.
Yep.
But I think some movies have actually kept me up at night quite a bit that have all of those things that aren't this movie.
Okay.
And I have a list of movies that have actually kept me up all night. I want to preface all of this by saying I was a very sensitive child.
Okay.
I was afraid of the Incredible Hulk until I was about 16.
Oh,
I had nightmares about Jesus. Did I tell you this?
No, I didn't know that.
I think it's because of the Catholic preschool I went to, and they told us a little too vividly about how he got tortured before he was nailed to the cross everything.
Very vivid,
like show-and-tell pictures they'd show us.
Whoa.
And so I had nightmares about what I called the Trojans.
Oh, yeah.
The Trojans torturing Jesus.
Right.
I was so scared of the Trojans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson had nightmares about that, too, I think. I think so, too.
He had so many. Well, we've all had nightmares about Mel Gibson all that. But so I'm prefacing all of this by saying I was a very sensitive child.
Okay.
So I was scared of stuff.
Okay.
And one movie that had all of those things in it that just seeing tidbits of the movie kept me up at night.
Okay.
The Shining.
Yes, of course.
The Shining still to this day I really shouldn't watch by myself.
I agree. I will say The Shining, you know, just recently. In fact, I think the story comes out today. I did just a top 10 list, sort of tying into Paranormal Activity 3, and also because, you know, it's Halloween season. I did a top 10 list for Newsday of my personal top 10 scary films and the scariest movies of all time. And The Shining is number one. It's number one on my list.
It's my number one, too. And
yeah.
At one point, I thought, oh, it's because I got exposed to it too young. My older siblings showed me bits and pieces of the movie when I was, I think, 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And those twins, those freaky, freaky twins.
Well, do you remember the trailer with that? I mean, one of the best trailers in movie history. Just the slow motion elevator door opening with all the blood pouring out.
Oh my God!
Right, incredible, and the chair floating away and the blood. I mean, what a set piece that trailer is! It's incredible.
So freaky.
No other footage, no characters, no dialogue, nothing about the plot. Just that one slow motion image for like 2 minutes, and it's just incredible.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm getting creeped out again.
Well, you know, what was funny about that? I've seen the film once or twice since it came out, and so I went back to look at some clips of it, and I think one of the things that seemed so effective about that movie is that the acting is so it's almost silent era acting. Everyone is so exaggerated in that movie, but it works. And the two things I was remembering, obviously, aside from Jack Nicholson's, you know, sort of,
here's Johnny.
Right. I mean, it's one of the best sort of unhinged performances, you know, you could hope to get. But Shelley Duvall, I mean, she really just devolves into like a moist heap in that movie. I mean, she's so scared in that movie, and her terror, you know, I mean, there's just snot and tears and screaming, and she's reduced to such, you know, she's so subhuman in her fear that it really unnerves you, I think. And then, of course, the little kid, Danny Lloyd, who plays Danny. He also, you know, I was looking at those scenes with the twins that appear in the hallway, and he really, you know, his mouth falls open, his eyes bug out, his head shakes. I mean, it's really like, it's like going back to the silent era that he's so exaggerated, but it really works because it's such a reaction that it freaks you out as well. That's what I think is one of the great things about that movie.
Well, I'm glad you agree with me that it's still scary.
I'm glad that it's
not just my overly sensitive, oh, the Trojans, incredible fear. But it was, oh my God, that movie.
Yeah, no, that's a great one.
Oh,
that's a great
one. Movie. I even rewatched it. Oh, God, how old was I? I must have been like 30, and I rewatched it, and same thing happened. I could not sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
I could not sleep. What else is on your scary list?
Okay, on my scary list, you might make fun of me for this, but The Blair Witch Project.
Really?
Yes, The Blair Witch Project I thought was a really, really scary movie. And
which is an inspiration, by the way, for the Paranormal Activity.
Total inspiration,
movies.
Right.
Totally, and like, look, we have handheld, you know,
right,
camcorder technology. Let's use
right
it to make a movie.
Right, exactly. I mean, it really ushered in a whole era of the sort of, I don't really know what you'd call it. It's kind of like sort of horror mockumentary, but there's also kind of, there's for some reason, there's always a bit of a social networking feel to all these movies because there's something so kind of cell phone, you know, flip camera about it, you know? But, you know, part of it might have been, you know, I saw it. I was living in Florida at the time, and you know those guys who made the movie, Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez, were University of Central Florida film students. Nothing comes out of University of Central Florida Film School until Blair Witch Project, and all of a sudden it's this hit movie that's the talk of the nation. So it was a big deal in Orlando at the time, which is where I was living, and I saw the movie. Again, very cutting edge, fed into the theater by satellite feed at the Enzian Theater in Maitland, which is just outside of Orlando. It's like the art house cinema for the area. And it was a great evening, and everyone was really excited about it and really pumped up. And to see this kind of curiosity, right, this zero-budget film that people said was scary but had no effects and was just shot by amateur, you know, by non-professional actors, basically, blah, blah. And I remember thinking it was really intense and really effective. And it was one of the few movies where I really, went home to my dark little apartment and, like, flipped all the lights on, you know? And I just thought, wow, this movie really got to me. And I know a lot of people felt it was gimmicky and not that impressive, and they felt that the handheld camera stuff was distracting and disorienting and kind of eye-watering and didn't do much for them. But I got to tell you, that movie really affected me. And that movie, the ending to that movie really got the hairs in the back of my neck standing up.
Mm.
But not you.
Well, I think I came to the movie quite a bit later than everybody else.
Oh, maybe.
And I had friends who saw it at Sundance. I had friends who had given me so much advance. Like, I mean, they told me so much about the movie.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
Then by the time I finally saw it at the Worldwide Cinema in Times Square.
Oh.
Here in New York City.
Worldwide Cinema?
Don't you remember that one? It was
no.
only 25 cents a movie, but you might get shot.
No. Sounds like a great place to see a horror movie.
Oh, it was great. It was like one of the last, like, flop house sort
oh,
of.
Wow.
Like, oh, gosh, I got tired of, you know, watching porno, so I decided to go over to the Worldwide
right.
Cinema for a movie.
Right.
Oh, look, I have some extra quarters in my pocket after the
wow.
pee-pee booth. Yeah, it was one of those kinds of theaters.
That's incredible.
It was great, but, you know, everyone misbehaved. They smoked yeah. during it. People had those, like, special laser pens that were all the rage at
yeah.
the time, and they kept on, like, circling stuff on the screen.
Well, I can see why how that would kind of break the mood.
Yeah. There was a lot of, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of shenanigans going on during
okay.
that one.
Okay. All right.
But right around the same time I saw Blair Witch Project, I also saw The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah. Also a great movie.
That kept me up all night.
Did it?
For more than a week.
Really?
I kid you not, I had my lights on every night. I couldn't go to the bathroom. And I have to go to the bathroom a lot. As you know, as someone who's seen movies with me and I have to get
yes.
up all the time to go to the bathroom, imagine me in the middle of the night laying awake, but I can't go to the bathroom
yes.
because I'm too scared to go.
You're too scared.
And I'm too old to be reacting this way to a movie. But The Sixth Sense did that to me.
Wow, no kidding.
Every shadow in the room looked like it was a dead body hanging from the ceiling.
Wow, I'll
be darned. I kid you not. It scared the... Well, it scared the poo out of me. Totally terrified me. And I think that fear was just heightened because, much like The Shining, you're seeing things through a child's eyes.
And, yes.
And I just hate seeing children in peril.
Yes, yes.
And children are a little freaky.
Yes, yes, they can be. They certainly can be. They certainly
those,
can be.
Those things combined, yeah.
That's interesting. That's a movie that I really loved a lot and was very impressed by. And it was a great, I thought it was really well done and a great, not to give anything away, but a fantastic twist ending that I certainly never saw coming. I can't say that the movie scared me that much. It didn't really, I mean, I loved it all the way through while I was sitting through it. It did not linger with me afterward.
He talks to dead people.
He does. He sees dead people. Yes.
Yeah. It's, scary. What's scarier? what else kept you up at night?
Well, I'll tell you another one. And this is a movie that I have not seen probably since shortly after it came out, which was a long time ago. And so I was youngish, was Poltergeist, 1982. And I was, even at the time, a little too old to have been quite as scared as I was by it. But
what was it? The child being sucked into the TV?
I think it was the TV.
The guy peeling his face off in front of the mirror?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that part was scary.
God, that's a great... I forgot about the guy peeling his face off. Boy, I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Like, why would you be peeling your face off?
That was horrifying. Even the final... And I have a feeling if I were to see it now, it might strike me as a little hokey. But, I mean, all the sort of weird fetal umbilical cord stuff going on in the end where she's being sucked into the portal and being sucked back out of the portal.
Oh, yeah. She was covered with all that gooey stuff.
Yes, all this sort of placenta-ish gooey stuff. all that stuff freaked me out. Really, I think what freaked me out about it and what I feel like movies have been doing almost ever since is just that freaking television with the static and the girl, you know, putting her hands up and her face up to the television and you know, trying to communicate with that staticky television. That kind of idea that that a demon was going to be coming at you through your technology was, I think, really new at the time. And I feel like people have just been recreating that scene either just just recreating it blatantly or in some kind of, you know, other slightly different way. But I feel like people have just been doing that over and over and over since then.
Much like Paranormal Activity 3.
Well, exactly.
We're bringing it back. We're bringing it back.
Exactly. All right. Exactly. But that movie, and I will, again, I was young, but I was in Oregon staying with some relatives, and I was sleeping out in a, I had my own little guest house, I guess you'd call it. But it was in central Oregon, like the actual literal center of Oregon. Like no lights, nothing. There's nothing. It was a giant ranch out there. And I just couldn't do it. I might have been 13. I just kind of thought,
I'm going to sleep with my aunt and uncle
Exactly. I just went. I was like, look, I'm sorry. I know I'm too old for this, but I have to sleep in the house with you guys. And I just did it. I just did it.
Good.
But that's a sign of a good movie, right?
Way to swallow your pride and just go and do it.
I just, it was either that or stay out there with the ghosts. And I chose survival. So there you go.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about how you were just talking about how the technology and the ghosts come through and
yes,
staying up all night. So did all of those things happen for you during Paranormal Activity 3? What do you have to say about this movie?
Okay. Now, Kristen, did you see the first?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw the first and I saw the second.
And you saw the second. Okay.
In the same day, actually.
In the same day?
Yes,
oh.
I did.
All right. So we're well-versed on Paranormal Activity, the franchise, you and I. And I will say that I thought the first one was quite good and really fun. And I had a great time in it. And I didn't go home and stare up at the ceiling for hours trying to fall asleep. But I thought it was a lot of fun, very effective and inventive and original. And I thought the second one, while it was essentially a carbon copy of the first one, still seemed to have some little juice in it. You know, I was with it. I was interested.
I thought it was quite clever.
Yeah, I thought it was clever as well. This one, I don't quite know why, because it's also a carbon copy of the first two. I think I just finally got tired of the shtick. And it was just, I'd seen it too many times before. I mean, really and truly, there are scenes in this new one that are just identical to the first two. And the surprise factor is just completely gone. And there was just nothing in it that, aside from the old trick of having a scene that's quiet and then all of a sudden something is loud, which sort of just automatically triggers your reflex.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, there just wasn't anything scary in the film.
I jumped a few times.
Sure.
I did. And you saw me.
Yes.
I was doing the hand chewing and a little bit of the air punching, as I tend to do.
Okay.
But not to the point that I did with the first or second.
Mm-hmm.
And an issue I had with this one is it was not a standalone movie. The other ones, I feel, stand on their own.
Yeah,
The second one stands on its own. You don't need to see the first to enjoy the second, I
mm-hmm.
think. The third one, they open it with something that if you've never seen the first or second, you're like, what's going on
right.
here?
Right. Who are these people? Why is this woman coming over to visit? What's the point? Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Overall, I mean, I'll just say it. It wasn't a very good date.
No, it wasn't a very good date. Although, you know, if you had the hip-hop DJ there, it would have been a pretty good date, right? I mean, you know, it could have been some fun.
With the t-shirt fun.
With the t-shirt fun, yeah, maybe. Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.